everybody, and welcome to Radio Radar, episode 114, Games Radar's weekly podcast where we discuss the current events and new releases and the community and all that stuff for GamesRadar.com, the totally awesome website that we all work for. I'm Henry Gilbert, and I'm here with...
Lorenzo Valoria.
Anthony Snyder.
Jan Jones.
And Ashley Reed, who's very impressed you said that all in one breath.
It took practice, but we pulled it off, but... Boy, the holidays are here.
They're coming.
Well, sort of. Halloween's over, so now it's just...
It's Christmas time.
No, Thanksgiving.
It's Christmas.
Ads are everywhere.
When Target switches out the Halloween decorations for Christmas decorations, it means it's Christmas.
They start playing
that's
Christmas
how you know.
Music all the time.
Yeah.
The traditional sign
Christmas
that the holidays
time.
Have begun, the Target stock switch.
Yeah.
Well, we have Targets right here. It's harder to find a Walmart. There aren't Walmarts in the Bay Area.
There are in the South Bay.
Yeah, Mountain View.
Your loser South Bay.
Hey.
Just got 10,000% trashier. No, I'm kidding.
Hey,
I've shopped at Walmart. It's okay.
All right. Target's the bomb.
It is.
Target.
But yeah, I've had just a crazy Friday of trying to line up something cool that... we'll see if that comes together, I hope. Mysterious thing. If you follow me on Twitter, you maybe have some hints about what this is. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Let's talk about the top seven for this past week, which I wrote, which is the top seven awesome wrestlers who could only exist in games.
I think it would have been weird if you hadn't written this.
Yeah,
that would have just been wrong.
It's like, what?
I would have at least given a lot of advice to the person who was writing it if it was not me.
Where's our top seven jingle?
Do you have a top seven jingle?
I sent it to you.
I think there was something wrong with it. I think it got corrupted.
Damn.
Top
Wait,
seven
hold on. Hold
stuff.
On.
Well, we can't hold on. The listener is holding on our
This
words
is live.
Here. Let's, yeah. But,
okay.
Yeah,
top seven.
So... I wrote this one because, you know, pro wrestling is really cool, and a new pro wrestling game is coming out soon. But the real-life pro wrestlers, you know, they're held back by reality. They're not as fun as made-up pro wrestlers that can, jump in the air 20 feet and pile-drive a dude with a mohawk into the cement. Regular pro wrestlers like John Cena can't do that.
They're also not mayor.
Yeah, they're not mayors. They don't help the police with kidnapping victims.
They don't beat up bad guys while walking down the street.
Yeah, they don't do a lot of things that video game pro wrestlers do. And so I decided to showcase the greatest ones of the virtual world of video games. And you know what? We're just going to go right into it.
Number seven.
Number seven.
Wow, that sounded recorded. That
Jan
awesome.
Jones should just do all... You know what? I might do that.
Jan
I might
Jones,
bring you back in here.
Voiceover artist.
Guacamelee's Juan Aguacate.
Aguacate.
Aguacate. Yeah. There are at least two luchadors on this list. But anyway, all right, so... Juan is the main character of Guacamelee. What, do you have a sound effect, Ashley?
Oh, no. I remembered what the problem was. It's in the wrong format, and I couldn't convert it in time. That's what it was.
Cool story, bro.
hey, you asked.
Okay, Guacamelee is a Metroidvania-style game, except instead of playing as a vampire or a vampire hunter or a lady in a robo-suit, you play as... a reborn luchador who, died, then got the magic luchador mask and came back to life to defeat the evil, Mephisto and his men.
Wait, isn't that Shadow of Mordor, but with...
Pretty much,
luchadors?
Yeah. Except in Mexico. But,
yeah, Mexican theme.
It's like...
Very Mexico.
Shadow of Mexico.
Shadow of Luchador.
Shadow of Acapulco.
It might be the most, it's top five most Mexican games ever. That should be a top one.
Oh,
do that top seven.
Do we have
do
most
we
Mexican
have
games?
Most Mexican games.
Can
Chili
I?
Con carne. I can't even understand what
that
he's saying.
That game is an
the
insult,
game is a
dude.
Very big
oh,
insult.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Can
yes.
I write that one?
I don't want to speak for the Mexican people, but I feel like were I Mexican, I would find that game insulting.
In fact, we have a video.
It's like, actually, it's like, Lorenzo, you should write that and then write the beginning as if you were made to.
okay, so the wrestling stuff, not only do you wear tights and a mask, and then when you're about to have a boss fight, a big, luchador style poster of like Juan versus enemy comes up on screen, but all your moves are pro wrestling crazy moves that like break walls or open up new doors. And like every fight you punch and kick, but you can also just grab them and German suplex them at any time just across the screen. Which a German suplex, if you don't know, that is a back to it is a belly to back grab, and you toss them over the top of your head. Brock Lesnar is famous for doing that.
That easy one.
Can he control time and stuff too?
I mean, yeah, he gets his abilities later too. Yeah, sure, he teleports around and stuff.
But that's not important. That's not wrestling moves.
Yeah. All right, sorry. So that's number seven.
Number six.
Streets of Rage 2's yes. Max Thunder. Now, Max Thunder is honestly like he's kind of just a shadow of another guy on this list, but he's still pretty cool. Like, there's a divide between fans of like Streets of Rage versus Final Fight. I'm actually more of a Streets of Rage guy, I think, because I grew up with a Genesis. I had the Genesis first and played Streets of Rage, and Max was always my guy in the games. Like, Max Thunder is a local pro wrestler who is also friends with Alex, who gets kidnapped at the start of number two, so he doesn't get to start in the game. He's the guy who's the older brother of Skates. You remember Skates from Streets of Rage 2 as well. But so Max Thunder, he's got like a crazy, his best one is an atomic drop, which that's like you drop the dude's butt on your knee and like cause massive damage. It's more like you just kind of like sit him down on your knee very aggressively.
So you basically just break his tailbone is what we're saying.
Let me tell you a story.
Yeah. He won't sit right for weeks.
What do you want for Christmas?
Little boy.
It hurts so much and it's atomic. That's why. And it's actually the most powerful move in a single move in Streets of Rage. There he is. Like, it does the most damage.
But don't the special moves, like, take some of your
they
life,
take health,
too?
Yeah, that's you the... do. So, I mean, it's like an arcade game in that way of just taking your health, except you can't buy more lives. You just have as many lives as they give you. Like, it's a really... It's challenging in that way. I think a lot of people just have never even seen the ending of Streets of Rage 3 because it's just the real ending.
You gotta get that street chicken.
Because Streets of Rage 3, like, tricks you. If you play it on easy difficulty, like, you beat the fourth level, and then it's just like, I guess you beat it, but you didn't really beat the boss anyway, so you lose, game over.
Rude.
Yeah, it's very rude. But Max isn't in that. He's only in Streets of Rage 2. What else is there to say about Max? He's got cool lightning pants. I like that about him.
That's what I look for in a man. Lightning pants.
That's when you know.
That's when I know.
Dude.
Guys, take note. That is when...
Lightning pants, gentlemen.
And then he seems fully deputized by the police to just help on their mission. They're like, well, you know him and you can punch people, so why don't you come with us to fight these gang members?
Like, I mean, of course.
They're totally cool with that. All right. Next.
Number five.
Tekken's King. So King from the Tekken series, another south of the border character, another Hispanic character.
Is this Kitty Cat Man?
He's a Kitty Cat Man.
Yay, yeah. Kitty Cat Man.
I always thought that his head was too small for his body because it's kind of just
like a mask is over it.
It like, just looks like that's his head. I never knew that it was a mask. I just thought he had a kitty cat head because it was Tekken.
Oh, no.
So
he had a problem.
I just thought that's the way he was. I don't ask.
Well, clearly you didn't explore the dense Tekken lore, which there is a ton of it. So King is he's one of the best wrestlers in Mexico. A huge deal there. He also has a rival who dresses just like him, except with darker colors, named Armor King,
which is his coach.
And they used to wrestle all the time. But then King was like, I need more of a challenge. I'm going to enter the King of the Iron Fist tournament. And then he also became a priest and then had his own orphanage and then became alcoholic and suicidally depressed. Beat that.
I feel like there must have been something in between those things.
Died.
Well, by wrestling in Tekken 2, in the Tekken 2 tournament, he defeated his inner demons. Then he grew older and then was murdered. Then another guy was trained by Armor King to become the new king. And then that guy started feuding with the character Marduk and the new king. And then Marduk and him then became uneasy allies who became their own tag team. And then a new Armor King showed up and started wrestling King.
Not complicated.
It's all so simple.
Oh, it's so simple.
I mean, duh.
So, but the moves stay the same regardless. Like, King has pretty much every major grapple. Like, he's just there for the wrestling fans on the staff just to show off, like, here's a perfect T-bone suplex. Here's a perfect sit-down powerbomb. And then he has this one move that's like just a bunch of like rolling pinfalls that do a ton of extra damage, like way more than it should, called like Death Grapple, that like Maxwell was a big fan of when we recorded our video, which, by the way, you should watch our top 7 video for this week.
Should always watch the top 7 videos. Come prepared for these discussions.
Always.
But Tekken has a lot of King has a lot of great grabs. Like, I think he has the most entertaining grabs of anybody in the game, and he has a lot of like really varied suits because of the theatricality of his job. Anybody else have feelings on King?
Kitty Cat Man.
You covered it.
That was weird.
Okay.
Number 4.
Dead or Alive's Tina Armstrong.
Ooh.
So the only lady on the list, that she's the most powerful female wrestler in video games. I would say definitely more so than any character in Rumble Roses, which, like, just forget that game.
Yeah.
Rumble Roses makes Dead or Alive seem like a feminist by comparison, the way it treats women. But, so yeah, the Dead or Alive series, Tina's deal is not too dissimilar from King's, where she has dreams and she enters the Dead or Alive tournament to try to achieve those dreams. Sometimes those dreams are to become a supermodel, to become an actress.
What?
Sometimes a politician.
Through fighting in a tournament?
Mm-hmm. But while she was trained by her dad, Brad Armstrong, who's basically like Hulk and Macho Man rolled into one.
Ooh, okay.
So she's like the Brooke Hogan.
Yeah, she's Brooke Hogan, except talented. And so,
a sound effect for that.
But she's really talented. Like, she Tina knows all these really cool moves. Again, she has all these crazy moves.
Isn't she a volleyball player too?
She dabbles recreationally, right? Sure, yeah, she dabbles.
Her and all the other
I think they all dabble.
Yeah, that's why. Because
when I think about fighting games, I think volleyball.
I referenced her volleyball background, but then in the edits, Dave Houghton actually said, like, well, all the Dead or Alive girls play volleyball, so that's not really special. And I was like, yeah, you're right. So I got rid of that part. But
I mean, just because other people do it doesn't mean it's not a talent.
Yeah, but apparently in the Dead or Alive world, everybody's talented at volleyball. Yeah. Like, they just need to get on the course and put on a string bikini, and then they can do it.
Like, yeah.
Also, magic string bikini.
I'm impressed that Tina is able to do all these like crazy moves, like a Death Valley driver and a diamond cutter, while wearing like a tiny USA bikini top, like just in all her matches. And also, she has this like really over the top, like Texas accent. Like, it's a bit much, honestly. But
I think I can answer the first part for you. Double sided tape.
Mm, well, even then, you sweat through that stuff. Like, it's double sided tape is no, it's not a panacea.
All right.
Yeah, this is rigorous activity you're talking about.
Yeah,
here. Not just.
I mean, of course.
Not just taping up.
How silly of me.
Yeah.
Also worth noting is that she was played by Jamie Presley in the Dead or Alive movie. Oh. And her dad was played by pro wrestler Kevin Nash, of all people.
Oh, he's really tall. He is a tall, tall dude.
Yeah, they're all, like, way taller than they... If you meet a pro wrestler in real life, most of them are much taller than they look on TV, though.
No, he's terrifyingly tall. Like, some of them, you look at them and you're just like, really? Because they don't look... They look like normal guys, but Kevin Nash is scary.
I think when you see so many dudes on TV who are, like, all 6'5 and above, that... Somebody that's 7 feet only looks like kind of tall, but if you meet like the Big Show in real life, you're like, oh, you're actually Matt. Like, you're the largest person in the world. Like, it just becomes commonplace on TV that when you meet them in person, you're like, what? But anyway, yeah, Jamie Presley played her in the awful film that you shouldn't watch. But anyway.
Number 3.
Saints Row the Third's Killbane. The really arch enemy of Saints Row the Third. So
he's the leader of the Greens, right?
Of the Green group, the Luchadors.
Yeah.
The Luchador sect of Steelport. That one of the three groups you're fighting, along with the hackers and that other group that like dies in the first 4 hours. So I forget their name. But Killbane's the coolest, though he's also a dick, because he's a vengeful pro wrestler and also kind of a cheater. So he was trained by, I believe it was Angel de la Muerta, another Mexican pro wrestler, who he then stole his finishing move and then cheated him in a mask versus mask match and stole his mask and thus ruined his career. And then he became a legitimate businessman running a bunch of casinos and betting parlors and stuff all around Steelport, and then had his own annual event called Murder Brawl, which was a big pro wrestling spectacle. And so you worked together with Angel to become a great pro wrestler yourself and fight Killbane at the next Murder Brawl, where you challenge him to a wrestling match in like this really incredible mission that's just like one of the best in Saints Row.
Sounds legit, because when I think of straight up businessmen, I think of betting parlors and murder brawls.
Well, he's a giant man who like just snaps people's necks for fun, and he's like, to beat him in the game, you have to like crash his plane, light him on fire, and then like snap his neck. Like it takes a lot to take down Killbane. It really does. But he's a really cool. He's cool in an evil way, but he's just so memorable. Like his green, his mix of green and like red on his mask is great. Also weird is that his rival Angel is played by Hulk Hogan, which is a very odd casting choice, I have to say, because like Hulk Hogan is not Scream reformed luchador to me. But
it could work.
I really just want the Saints Row guys to just make the wrestling games now. Like, they have so much pro wrestling stuff. Like, Roddy Piper is in Saints Row 4. Like, spoilers for a cool cameo there. Sorry. But,
dare you?
But yeah, the Volition is so good at wrestling, or at the wrestling content they put in Saints Row, that, like, they should be working on the WWE games. Like, especially now that 2K owns both those companies. Oh, no, wait, no. Shit. I got that wrong. It's 2K owns WWE. Deep Silver has Volition. But still, they should make a wrestling game.
Could they have someone like wearing a jetpack and then have someone like hit someone else in the nuts with a shovel? Could they do that in WWE?
No, they totally couldn't.
Then they won't do it.
Well, I mean, they should make an off-brand wrestling game then.
I miss
the days of sports games that weren't tied to brands. Like, that just doesn't happen anymore. You're never going to get just a football game, a boxing game. Like, it all just has to be corporatization.
There's no money in that, man.
Nah, that's
no money.
It's like I'm depressing myself.
Number two.
Virtua Fighter's Wolf Hawkfield. All right. Wolf is he is the oldest of the 3D wrestlers on here, and he kind of set the course for all future wrestlers in 3D fighting games, which is like he's got a lot of throws, a lot of heavy attacks, and he's just a big man in wrestling tights. And my favorite thing about Wolf is just how serious he takes himself. Unlike Tina Armstrong and King, like, he doesn't have a massive backstory because Virtua Fighter hates backstories. Like, they're just like, no, it's about the fighting. We're not going to give you some dumb story to explain it. These people just fight each other because they're fighters. Like, though he has a limited backstory in that he lives in the woods in Canada and occasionally has prophetic dreams of the end of the world, which then cause him to enter fighting tournaments. And so he became the best pro wrestler around, undefeated, retired, and then saw that Virtua Fighters were getting together to have a separate all fighting styles tournament, and so he signed himself up to challenge Akira, the basically the Ryu of the Virtua Fighter series.
I hate that guy.
Though then Wolf kind of became more of a joke character, like he stopped being Akira's rival and instead became the rival of the other wrestler in the game, the more recent Luchador edition, El Fuerte. But, that's Street Fighter.
That's
guy.
Street Fighter.
What's the Luchador and Virtua Fighter, right?
Virtua Fighter.
Anyway.
Help us out, Lorenzo.
Doesn't matter.
That's Virtua Fighter 5. Nobody cares.
So what I like a lot about Wolf is that he has so many great win quotes. Like, he's just so self-serious that he says, like, wrestling is the ultimate sport. Ah, woo! just like he always howls at the moon. He's a very, very in touch with his like animal instincts.
That gets so old so fast.
Very Canadian.
Is the luchador El Blaze?
El Blaze, that's it. Yes, you can see how I got El Fuerte and El Blaze mixed up.
El Blaze, same thing. Which is else. Spanish for the blade. Wait, that works.
No, it's El Blase. He's very boring. Like that's it. Ha ha ha. Anyway, all right, next.
Number one.
Mike Hagger from Final Fight. It could be no other on this list. I really, this list could be almost all Capcom entries. Like, we could add Zangief on here. We could have had the entire cast of Saturday Night Slam Masters, which is a really great original fighting game they made for arcades in 94 and really has just kind of disappeared. But Mike Hagger was in that game. Like he graduated from Final Fight character to guest character in Saturday Night Slam Masters. But the backstory on Mike Hagger is that he is a former and maybe even current pro wrestler who then ran for mayor and was going to clean up Metro City from the evil Mad Gear Gang. And then the Mad Gear Gang kidnapped his daughter Jessica as punishment for being such a muckraking mayor.
Ooh.
So instead of using his police force to chase him down, he instead got together Cody, the boyfriend of Jessica, and Cody's best buddy, Guy. And they walked the streets of Metro City, beating the shit out of every they find until they saved Jessica.
Wait, I have a question. How come Hagar did not break Cody out of jail? What's
well,
up with that?
There's a background story. Going by some of the dialogue Cody gives in Super Street Fighter IV, he chooses to stay in jail for some like monkish type reasons where he's just like, hey, man, it's just the place where I feel most comfortable. I'll stay in jail. If you need me, I'll break out of jail.
But then he breaks out in Alpha, right?
If he's needed, he'll break out of jail. But he
when
doesn't.
You need me.
It's like, if you need me, I shall break out of jail to
that's creepy.
For you. But that's the only time he does it. Maybe it's the only place he can think. Like, he's just like, or maybe he's just like those dudes who don't feel comfortable in the real world. Like, he's not just too used to prison. He's like,
What about Guy?
The world caught itself in such a big damn hurry.
What about Final Fight Streetwise?
That didn't happen. But, all right, so, yeah, Hagger is he's the heavy of the game. He's got crazy wrestling moves, including, like, the pile driver. Like, there's this awesome picture around the internet of him pile driving a shark. Like,
He sounds like the kind of guy that the president from Metal Wolf Chaos would want in his cabinet.
Oh, yeah, totally. He would offer him a job. And then Hagger, like, I think became, he kind of drifted into the background, but I think he became such a joke character online that, like, Capcom realized they should bring him back to the forefront. So they did in numerous crossover games to the point where he became his own full character in the Street Fighter 4 updates and also Marvel vs. Capcom 3, where he like is rivals of Hulk in a couple scenes, which is really weird. Like, I mean, Hagger's strong,
he's just
but
a man.
But he's yeah. This is the Hulk.
Yeah.
Not even like the wrestling one, the other one.
You know, the one that can't die.
But so hot, yeah. Hagger's a lot of fun though. I love his mustache and his like Chewbacca-esque bandolier or whatever thing on his chest, or it's just like a belt he puts on his chest.
It's
I
like
can't
a
tell.
Overalls strap
also,
or something.
Pile drive a shark.
Yeah.
Pile driving a shark.
I mean, I guess it didn't jump the shark as much as it pile drived it.
Ay.
Oh.
You.
Ay.
All right. And so that's this week's top seven about the awesome wrestlers who could only exist in games. And be sure again to check out every week's Top 7. We do it all Mondays of the year, every year. And we've got
forever.
We've got cool videos of this with a lot of funny clips in it. If you want to check those out, go to our YouTube page. I'm just going to plug that, you know. Might have some fun things on there soon. Who knows? Anyway, we usually do the plugs at the end, but I want to surprise people with plugs because I worry some people just like, once they hear me talk about plugs, they just shut it off.
Yeah.
If that's the case, like, tell me that, and then, you know, please stop doing that. Like, come on.
Or we'll just sneak
we'll spread it out through the show.
No, don't
I'll
warn
just
them.
Have to get sneakier. I'll just have to get sneakier with the plugs, guys, if that's how you want to do it.
You just have to be, like,
it's so easy for them to just hit fast forward 15 seconds, which they probably did over this already.
They're doing this right now, live stream.
Anyway,
three to five,
we're going to take... We're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're going to talk about the current events of the week, including some pretty big previews and reviews. So stick with us.
Radio Radar is brought to you in part by Audible.com, where you can download audiobooks like Extra Lives, Why Video Games Matter, and Ready Player One. Download a free audiobook today at audibletrial.com/gamesradar.
And we're back for the current events segment of Radio Radar.
Yes.
Are you going to press a...
Do we have sound effects?
I did.
Buttons?
It's playing. Damn it, the moment's lost.
That's cool. It's all right. You did your best. It's all we can ask.
I can't win today.
We've been kind of cursed with some games that cannot be named. But we've had some bad luck lately with trying to play games.
Bad tech going on. I don't know what's happening.
I'll get this fixed. I'll get this fixed.
All these things are supposed to work together, you know, in...
Well, so the big news this week, I didn't put it on the thing, but really the big news was Nintendo had a Nintendo Direct, which had the return of Satoru Iwata, who's been missing for like months because he had something removed from his bile duct.
Oh my God.
But apparently he is fully recovered. And he's lost a bit of weight. Well, not a bit. Like, he wasn't fat before, but he's just like noticeably skinnier. But... he says he's in good health, but this isn't the Satoru Iwata health update. The important thing was that they announced a new game, which was The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask 3D.
Yeah.
Out in spring of next year already, like less than 6 months.
From the gameplay that they were showing, it didn't look like it was a full remake like they did with the Ocarina of Time. Like the
I think it's like
graphics.
Ocarina. What do you mean? Like,
was it?
Well, the graphics look better. It looked like it was running on the Ocarina graphics.
Really? It looked cleaner.
A little cleaner. Well, the characters just look ugly, like they do.
Yeah, I guess so.
The point, I wouldn't want them to clean it up too much, because kind of the point of Majora's Mask is that it's the weird one. Like,
right.
They reused character models from Ocarina, but just made them new characters who are just, like, crazier.
Right.
And it's just, like, this weird, like, through-the-looking-glass kind of world where... like a giant moon is about to crush them all, and they're all complaining about, like, well, I don't want to build this clock tower. I got to get this place ready in time. And there's just, it's like Groundhog Day in the world of Legend of Zelda. It's got a lot of really funny scenes in it. Like, if you missed it, a lot of people, this is like the Zelda they missed. I think it's worth returning.
Yeah, the best part of that game is the Bomber's Notebook. If you haven't played the game, you got to go in, and when you get the Bomber's Notebook, do all the stuff in that, because you don't just get hearts and stuff, but you get all those little stories. Like,
yeah, you get cool stories and new masks.
Yeah, there's the love story, and a lot of it just spans through the entire 3 days, and you get all the special masks.
If you remember, like, how when Bill Murray had the perfect day at some point where he's just like, all right, at 9 o'clock, I got to stop this guy from getting run over, like, or whatever. That's the regular world of Link, and it, because it was such a controlled place for 3 days, like, it made the city the most alive it ever was, like, thanks to those constraints. And so, yeah, I think the 3DS remake will finally get, you know, people a real chance to play it. I do think it sucks that they didn't announce the new 3DS, like, for America. They really should. I'm guessing they did it purely because then they can they don't want to impact their holiday sales by telling people in early 2015, we'll have a new 3DS, so don't buy something this year.
Yeah, it's like, hold on. Don't buy anything for Christmas.
So don't buy anything from us.
So instead, please buy a 3DS this year and then have your kid be pissed off at us in March when we announce the new 3DS.
Yeah.
Is that what iPhone does anyway?
Yeah, I guess people are pretty just used to being, like, treated in that way by companies, so
like,
they'll take it.
People are used to being treated like crap.
Then there was a cool trailer for Xenoblade as well, Xenoblade Chronicles X, which I think looks really awesome. And some other cool stuff too, like Codename Steam and the Mario Kart 8 DLC and lots of cool stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And the Amiibos.
Man, we got Amiibos. We can talk about that. We got Amiibos in office and could not stop just staring at them. I took a million pictures of them, which you guys should look at on the site in our guide to explaining. Or no, this one is comparing Amiibos to Skylanders and Disney Infinity. Like, just a quick.
And other toys.
And other toys, yeah. It's weird to see an amiibo next to a Lego. That's for sure.
It was a very weird look, but they're pretty nice. I've got a Wii Fit Trainer and Peach next to my desk. They're good. I like them.
Yeah. All right. And so then the other big news is BlizzCon is happening right now.
Very moment.
And actually, like, several of our bros are at, like, Frank and Thomas, they're at it. Thomas for fun, Frank for not fun.
Frank for work.
Frank's
never there for fun.
Nah.
They announced some big stuff. They announced, like, some Hearthstone updates, which I don't care about. Then they announced the final third of StarCraft II. Like, feels like StarCraft II has been, like, just forever. Like, it's just never ending, StarCraft II.
Well, there's three games to StarCraft II, I guess.
But this is a third, and it's a standalone.
Yeah.
And then lastly, their big new project, their first new IP in 17 years. Overwatch.
Which is,
looks like a first-person shooter, a colorful shooter in the style of Team Fortress 2.
Yeah, it totally looks like Team Fortress 2. But you're basically superhero type characters. So each character has special weapons and special abilities, and it seems like it's kind of like it's probably like a thing where you charge up a special super move. And you could use that occasionally. Like, there's this Reaper guy that kind of did this ability where he just turns into, like, a fade version of himself and just shoots everything around him and kills everything instantly. Hmm. And then there's a dwarf guy that builds turrets. And that's, like, a typical thing. It seems such,
there's
like,
a dude that builds turrets. That's pretty much just a class in shooters now.
Yeah, that's just like
turret builder.
That's totally a TF2 thing. Mm-hmm. And there's all kinds of, like, robotic people that fly in the sky and shoot rockets at people. It seems like a real close quarters kind of shooter thing.
Yeah. And this is what Titan became.
Yeah.
Like, officially they canceled Titan, their next MMO, last year. And then this has become it's turned into Overwatch. That name, I'm just like, Overwatch just immediately makes me think of XCOM.
Yeah.
It makes me think of Half-Life, actually, because there's the Combine Overwatch.
I mean, Overwatch is like a military term. Like it wasn't invented by video games.
It doesn't seem like it matches with, like, giant gorillas in armor and things like that.
Yeah, it seems like one of those, like, focus-tested, like, we need a one-word name for something. What hasn't been taken? Like, there's not enough left. That's how you end up with things like Dasani Water. Like, it's just such a weird name. All right.
This just seems like a bizarre.
So that's the news. Some quick preview things. I played a lot of Nintendo games this week. Just ended up that way. I played the Mario Kart DLC, got to play through the F-Zero stage, which is incredible. Like, I love the F-Zero stage.
You have F-Zero karts too, right?
And an F-Zero kart.
Yeah,
and
that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, they show off the amiibo stuff, which unlocks costumes for your characters, for your Mii, only your Mii, but it's new, like, skins for your Mii to wear. So you can get your Mii in a Captain Falcon outfit driving the Blue Falcon on the F-Zero stage. So you have to just squint your eyes just a little bit, and it's like you're in a new F-Zero game.
All this amiibo stuff seems kind of confusing to me. Like, it's just like, what do they do for each game? I still don't quite understand what they do for,
think,
like, Smash Brothers, and then they're in
so I think
Mario
Nintendo's
well.
Strategy is that it, instead of building one game around, like, an annual game around a toy, they're going to just build you toys, and then the toys that do little things in lots of games, like, so that add up to a bunch of just, like, well, I bought this game, like, maybe they're afraid that they, like, you'll buy the toys, but you'll only, if they only work for Smash Brothers, you'll be like, eh, that's disappointing. So you just bought the newest game, your newest game. Oh, it talks, your toys talk to that too. It'll give you a trinket, like a very small trinket. Like in Hyrule Warriors, it just, like, gives you some rupees. Or if you put down the Link one, I think you get the that top that he had in Twilight Princess.
You know, I think it's extra added value because, let's be real, I mean, some of these, a lot of parents will be buying them, and they are much more likely to plunk down their cash if it's like, oh, it works with other games. And, you know, even if it's just something little, it's more than the other competition offers.
Yeah, and if they got popular enough, like, having a little thing with amiibo in it could cause kids to buy the game. Like,
yeah.
Like, well, I have 15 amiibos, and this game talks to them. I better buy this game instead of Assassin's Creed or whatever.
It seems like the way they're trying to sell it, though, is it's a little – it's not like Skylanders or Disney Infinity where – you know, with those games, you buy different characters and it unlocks
right.
things in the game. So it's like, oh, I need a water elemental guy or I need an earth elemental guy. This is just kind of like buy the ones that you think are cool, and then they'll work with all these different.
Well,
games.
If you're a guy who likes Link stuff, then you'd get more Link things in those games.
Yeah. You say if looking at Lorenzo, like if you perhaps liked Link a little bit,
perhaps maybe.
So there's another game that uses amiibo, but which it's singular, just amiibo. Amiibo refers to amiibo figures, the concept of amiibo, and it's a lowercase a. That's the official way it's spelled.
It's a good word. I like it.
But it's grown on me. I thought it was stupid when I first heard it, but I think it was kind of just like the way I reacted to Wii U. I was like,
yeah.
I like amiibo now. But so the other one I played, the other amiibo integrated game is Captain Toad. I played a tiny bit of Captain Toad. Not much I can talk about it with, but... I pretty much played what I had played at previous events, and it's just really cool. Like it is a spinoff. It seems slight in the way that it's just like very focused puzzle stages. Like that's why it's a $40 game and not a $60 game. I'm thinking, but it's even made me like Toad enough to like his like awful voice of like, let's go.
Cute, even with his annoying voice.
I loved
his her because it looks like there's both.
I was so excited. On Halloween, I went to Mel's Diner at like 1:30 in the morning, and there were many, many groups of Marios and Luigis. And then there was a dude dressed as Toad with his girlfriend who was dressed up like Mario, and they were sitting there eating their burgers, and he had on this tiny little vest, and his gut was hanging over, and it made me so happy. And I just kept trying to take photos of him because he was amazing.
So
good.
I feel like the Toad costume, you could wear, you know, like Aladdin-style pants that would give you like kind of like a fake cummerbund.
Yeah, no, he didn't bother with that.
No, he just got to be
free. He was just free. He was just, he was cool. He was confident.
Well, and guys, you should know that I'm just going to say, we can say it. We're going to stream some Captain Toad next week.
Yeah,
you're
going
to get to see some of it on video, so check it out.
Live.
Henry, will it make me sick?
Live.
I think it actually, when I would play it, I was like, this could make Jan very sick.
The camera,
because isn't there a lot of spinning?
There's a lot of spinning.
Spinning the camera is central to the game. Like, you have to continually spin the camera. So,
your stomach will die.
Because it's about turning the cube to find new places to go. Like, it's kind of like a Rubik's Cube with a Toad inside it.
Yeah, no. I would say we can, you know, give me that bottle of Nestle Quick and then make me spin me around 10 times and make me play, but that wouldn't be pretty.
We should drink that Nestle Quick on that upcoming marathon we do. We should at least do that on a stream at some point.
We have Nestle Quick? Why do we have Nestle Quick?
I got it for free at the BART station.
Yeah.
Nestle Quick.
Does that sound like he found it?
I know.
Yeah, it does.
I said it like that. Ashley missed when I came in with a bottle of chocolate milk. That I was like, I got it for free at the BART station.
Are you sure it's chocolate milk?
At Balboa Park station, occasionally Nestle Quick.
There's hobos and they drop off their
Nestle Quick representatives with their Nestle Quick van and Nestle Quick
their white windowless van, perhaps,
are handing out free bottles of their chocolate milk. They're like, hey man, free chocolate milk. And I don't like drinking it either. Like, it's not great. Like, I don't like Nestle, but I'm not 12. Like, I may live the life of a 12-year-old, but I have grown past chocolate milk.
I feel like they I remember once I was at a high school speech tournament and Red Bull showed up and started just trying to hand Red Bull to all these 16-year-olds. I feel like those two companies got things mixed up. Like they should have flipped it.
Nah, the kids want. Well, yeah, parents should. Parents should not let their kids drink Red Bull.
I'm jacked up on Mountain Dew.
It's pretty much. It's like, oh, you have to argue a case in 5 minutes. You're probably terrified. Drink this.
Yeah.
Also, if you like Mountain Dew, you should read Anthony's cool stuff today. It is terrifying and disgusting and all of those things.
Mountain Dew flavored the way it should not be flavored, right?
Basically.
Well, and really, the only way to have Nestle Quick is to mix it yourself, because then you can put in all the chocolate powder you want. And just like,
or Bailey's.
Or yeah.
Yeah, there we go. That's my kind of Nestle Quick.
I feel like they add more crap to the pre-bottled ones.
Well, yeah. They definitely do.
Well, it was also like when they handed it to me, it's like, well, this isn't refrigerated. Like, yeah, you don't have to refrigerate it. Like, but this is milk.
This is milk.
It's not malk. Anymore.
Kids like bulk.
It's mork.
With a vitamin R.
Yeah. Malk. Now with vitamin K.
All right. Codename Steam was the other game I played. Really quickly, just want to talk about that. It is a tactical game from the creators of Fire Emblem and Advance Wars, except it's in the style of XCOM, where you walk around and you shoot the aliens in turn-based, grid-based stuff. And it takes place in a steampunk future past where you take orders from Abraham Lincoln to save London alongside Tom Sawyer and a lion man.
A lion dude.
And don't forget, what's her name?
Well, there's Tiger Lily.
Yeah. Tiger Lily.
Tiger Lily, the Native American, the proud Native American healer on your team.
She's
Tom Sawyer, a lion man.
Peter Pan's girlfriend.
Also John Henry, too. Oh, that's right. Tiger Lily is, I thought they just made her up, but you're right. She's from Peter Pan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that really offensive part of Peter Pan.
You kind of just have to forget the Indians part of Peter Pan if you want to remember it well.
Cover your ears.
Especially, the Disney one, that song.
Let's not repeat those lyrics.
The name of that song I will not say. But just look it up. All right.
I love that song.
Well, if nobody else, does anybody else have previews they can talk about? If not, we'll move on to the reviews.
Can you talk about that one, with the...
With the thing with and the guy where he...
What?
Never mind.
I'm guessing he can't then. I didn't see any other previews we posted this week.
I am totally zoned out.
All right,
I played more Dragon Age, but that's just more of the
Let's
same
Let's get
stuff.
Back in the zone then with reviews.
Yeah.
And Lorenzo, you have been engulfed in Call of Duty for the last 2 weeks.
It swallowed me, yeah.
You've been in Advanced Warfare for a long time.
All hail Virtual Spacey.
Yeah, Virtual Spacey.
You played it. It's the new Call of Duty.
It is
another year, another Call of Duty. But
another year, another Call of Duty.
The first one from Sledgehammer,
yeah.
So a new studio.
Yeah.
Does it reinvigorate a series that is desperately in need of it?
It does in multiplayer, in single player, and co-op. It's really stagnant.
Even with the spaceman
and jetpacks
and exosuits.
Yeah, well, there's cool stuff in it. So the single player is pretty by the numbers. You're going to be following your buddy like you do in typical Call of Duties, and you get exosuit powers, which change things up a bit. You get a Batman-style grapple hook, and you could latch onto things and fly up into the air and do crazy stuff like that. And you get magnet gloves, and you do all this crazy stuff where you're on the highway jumping from bus to bus and shooting guys from hanging from the side of the bus and then pulling guys out and throwing them against light posts and doing all kinds of exciting stuff like that. Don't get me wrong, the campaign is a lot of fun. It's just the summer blockbuster.
Like it is every year.
Explosive, shoot 'em up kind of game that it is every year, yeah. But the story doesn't really do anything special with Kevin Spacey or anything.
Mm-hmm. He's there.
Yeah, the game.
I'm guessing there's a shocking reveal of some sort with him. And by shocking, I mean not shocking because it's obvious they hire him to be the bad guy. They put him in the game.
I say that without playing
the game. Like, that is a guess. That is not a spoiler. That's me guessing.
It was really in the marketing material. So
yeah. In that first trailer, he gives this whole speech about this is what the world's like. And then
I'm going to take over.
Yeah. Most super villainy movies, this is what real security is now. Turn around, and that's when I come in. I was like,
villainous Kevin Spacey.
He's the good guy.
Somebody else in the room should have told him, we can hear you.
Here. Yeah.
They make it painfully obvious in the marketing material. So there's really no surprises when you go into it, if you've been paying attention to the game. And if you're listening to this podcast, we just spoiled it for you, but whatever.
You spoiled it the same way I spoiled Shadow of Mordor by mentioning, hey, this thing happens in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah, I guess so. But there's other stuff there's more open-ish areas. You're not always down this going down this linear corridor. There was one section where I had to sneak around and do like a scorpion, get over here with my grappling hook and pull in guards and snap their necks and do cool stuff like that. And
That sounds like it'd be way better with a scorpion skin.
Yeah, or just the sound effect. It would be pretty sweet.
It's a video idea.
So the campaign is just the typical stuff. The co-op is really a cut and paste of multiplayer maps and putting a bunch of leveling features into it. So you get better guns and you can upgrade your character and you fight all the bad guys from the campaign. So there's no really cool zombie uniqueness.
DLC a coming.
Yeah, that's coming. But in the standard game, it's just really really plain and kind of a little bit disappointing. It works well and it's fun to play, but it's kind of disappointing in the creativity aspect of it.
And so what did you end up scoring?
I gave it a 4 out of 5. And if you want to play Call of Duty for multiplayer, this one's really good. All the exosuit abilities really change things up.
Moves a lot faster.
Yeah, it moves a lot faster. It still feels like Call of Duty, but makes it feel a little bit different. All those kill streaks and all the customization is really a lot more. There's a lot more customization, which is really cool. And I'll stop talking now.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. And then the other big review just posted was Dave Houghton's review of Halo: The Master Chief Collection, which is, I guess, other than Sunset Overdrive, is Microsoft's biggest release exclusive, of the fall. And in case you didn't know, it is every Halo game that Master Chief started, so 1, 2, 3, and 4. No ODST or Reach in it, so you're missing out on Reach, but,
He wasn't the star,
it's all right.
So.
Yeah, but, and it's the, all for the Xbox One, it's the anniversary edition of Halo 1, and then a completely redone version of Halo 2, right. And then pretty much just transfers of 3 and 4.
Yeah. I want to see those Halo 2 cutscenes. Yeah, they look absolutely crazy.
That's definitely one of Dave's favorite bits, is just it was a plus and a minus for him, because he was just like, this is gorgeous. These are incredible cutscenes, but they're also so distractingly good. No matter how the game can't compare.
You go from just the in-game graphics to it was mm-hmm. photorealistic almost.
So they kept all the dialogue the same. They just redid the scenes with the same old dialogue. But Halo's great. The Halo games are great, and this captures it. It's four of the best FPSs of the last decade all in one, and that you get so much content. It is a ton of stuff.
You get all four campaigns, you get the multiplayer maps,
and everything. The multiplayer style too. Halo 2 plays like Halo 2's multiplayer did back then. They made a point of saying, we kept the bugs. We kept the things we wish we could fix, but you guys like them, so we're keeping them. But
selfish bastards.
And then it basically works like a playlist, or you can make up your own playlist of levels too. You can just pick and choose any level anywhere. You don't have to play them in order to unlock them. It's just they just assume you've played all these games, so if you want to just skip four levels in the stupid library, go right ahead. Or you can go to this other one. It sounds really good. I'm more likely to play it than I thought I was, honestly. But so Dave really enjoyed it too. He gave it a 4.5 out of 5.
I think this one will be a good way for me to catch up on my Halo. I think mm-hmm. I'll be getting this one.
Yeah. Well, if you're not the Xbox One, you don't own? You have a PS4.
You just made me realize the sad fact. I'm like,
sorry.
Oh, crap.
Okay,
I'm being a real bummer today,
Play it in the office. Just play it in the office.
I could just play it in the office. I'll just buy an Xbox One.
All right. Well, there's a lot of good deals on them. You should look up our Black Friday deals list to see all the great deals on Xbox Ones right now.
Hey, good idea. That sounds like a great idea.
All right. Now we're going to take another break. And when we come back, in the community segment with returning community segment jingle. Hey, everybody, we're back. Welcome to the third segment of Radio Radar episode 115, which is the community segment.
segment on Radio Radar.
We've missed that song so much.
Yeah, we had misplaced it, so we were sent a new version of it by the song's creator, Dango Mushi, on the site, who, you know, he says that, blah, 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 how do you do it? He remastered it a little, he said. That was his phrasing on it. So.
Thank you, Dango
Thank
Mushi.
Thank you.
So, yeah, this week, or last week's question of the week was, if money was no option, and in some cases reality wasn't an option either, like, then what crazy Halloween costume would you make based on a video game? And, all right, well, there's four of them, so I won't read any of them. Let's start with you, Lorenzo.
All right, Ghost Rider says, so if reality wasn't a factor, my costume would be Kirby. That way, if someone turns up with a costume cooler than mine, I would use the suit's eat ability to gain elements of their costume for myself. Or if that's too out there, how about Thomas from Thomas Was Alone? It's just a cube.
I just love that idea that he'd, like, the Kirby ability would mean he could just steal other people's costumes if his costume wasn't good enough.
Yeah, that's nice. So crazy.
I like that.
And I did see people who dressed as Thomas Was Alone characters, which really was just like, this is a blue square I'm dressed as.
Yeah.
Now I'm dressed as a yellow triangle. But I mean, not triangles.
Didn't you go,
rectangle.
Wait, Tetris
rectangle.
Or Thomas Was Alone? Which one are you?
Well, I guess that blue square can work for Tetris, can't it?
Yeah, blue or red.
Line.
All right, Anthony.
All right. Angels and Demons 1 says, I would be a dragon from Skyrim. I would fly high above the football games of my favorite teams and take dragon dumps on the opposing players. Very sportsmanlike.
Is that how you spend your Halloween?
Keeping it classy.
You know it.
Demons 1. Cyber Ninja said, I would be Final Form Sora from Kingdom Hearts 2. Skating around with floating key blades would be beyond awesome.
That would be pretty cool.
Skating around. But he has like, so he has like roller skates?
On he has like, track. Yeah, electric skates. He just zips around. It's like, wee. Yeah.
Like,
his
with
key
those,
blades, like, key
like those kids who have like the back wheels on their shoes and stuff.
Yeah, it's like Heelys, but way
Heelys.
Cooler.
There we go.
This shows the age gap here because I was like, those did not exist when I was a kid. And
no,
so,
they
like,
didn't.
Yeah.
Next, you'll tell me he didn't have Razor scooters.
Nah. Those are for nerds.
Read the next.
You realize we work at a video game company, right? Anyway, or a video game website. Okay. Lord Zarlon says, I would totally dress as Kerrigan from StarCraft. I'm a guy, so that would be one expensive costume. Oh. The con piece alone would have to be capable of concealing my tiny package. I guess it wouldn't be that expensive after all.
The COD, but he means Call of Duty piece.
His Call of Duty piece, of course.
Or right. Like COD for like fish and chips.
Right.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
Yeah.
So, COD you know, lover. The winner is Ghost Rider. Because I really like that Kirby eating guys to steal more costumes. So.
That is very clever.
Yeah, I think that is a clever bit. So, as the winner, Ghost Rider, and for listening this far to know you're the winner, because I'm not going to tell you any other way, then you should reply to us at Radio Radar at gamesradar.com to claim your prize. Just send me an email, tell me what systems you have, and I'll send you a little something as a congratulations for winning this week's question of the week. Now, this newest question of the week is a bit sillier, but it's inspired by an upcoming video game.
That you might know about.
Pair of video games. So,
you might have heard.
Would you rather be a pirate or a Frenchman? explain your answer.
Though, should we clarify what kind of Frenchman? Because there are many kind. There are many kinds of Frenchmen
right,
and many kinds of pirates.
Frenchman.
Let's say a 18... So,
wait,
a
am I seven, rich?
A 1700s pirate... Or an 1800s revolutionary.
Oh,
those both kind of suck.
Yeah. Well, at least with a okay, so I'll say mine. I am going to say a revolutionary because, one, I get kind of seasick, so I wouldn't do very good on the boats. Also, you would not be risking getting skin cancer from all the sun you'd be getting on the high seas. Or scurvy. And
they had limes by then.
And you might get a chance to, you know, carry around a famous rich guy's head if you stand close enough to the... I mean, you also might get killed in the...
Just tie it to your belt.
When that other guy took over.
Robespierre.
Yeah, when Robespierre took over, you know, all bets are off there. But, you know, it at least looks like fun and chaotic and no seasickness.
I'd go with pirate, because pirates are cool, and you get to sing like all day, and nobody cares. And
yeah, someone might kill you if you sang.
Unless you try to rhyme a word with orange.
Yeah, you get a lot of sun. This is like the exact opposite of Hank's answer.
But, Hank's like, sun.
But you could carry two swords around with you, which is cool because, you know, pirates actually carried two swords around. Like, that was a historically accurate thing, which was cool.
That is
cool.
Because
Edward did that in Assassin's Creed.
And Cervantes has it too in Assault.
That's right.
Dual cutlasses.
And if there were ever a pirate that was a pirate, it's
Cervantes.
Cervantes. Yeah, pirate. Pirate for me.
I would definitely say pirate also. Mm-hmm. I need adventure in my life. I need it to be exciting.
You think?
I don't feel like it would be exciting. Not the type of excitement that I'm into.
You don't want to fight rats and you don't want to eat rats and on the streets of Paris.
Oh, that sounds
fear
like
for your life every
me.
Day. Will I be next?
No, I'd rather ride the seas, hunt.
Be free. Be free in the ocean.
Free like an animal.
Yo-ho, yo-ho.
Yo-ho-ho, pirate's life for me.
You know, I was going to go Frenchman because, you know, pâté, foie, baguettes, French food in general. Mm. But if I'm a revolutionary, then I'm going to have to go pirate.
Yeah, that's violence.
I'd rather be the hunter than the hunt. I don't know. Like, it just... they had a good point, but there was some innocent blood on those revolutionaries' hands, as with pirates. But I guess, you know, I do like the smell of the ocean air. I don't really like sun. I don't know. I'm not sure. Like, it's kind of a lose-lose either way.
Well, I was gonna say, like, well, you know, pirates, they never bathe, but I was like, well, the French people
kind of did. Yeah.
But at least you could jump in the ocean and, like, rinse off, as where if you're in France, like, they didn't bathe. It was, like, considered unhealthy. So I would...
And even the bath in the small tub with the sponge.
Yeah, I would have to go pirate. I mean... France was really filthy back then, and it was dangerous, and at least, you know, water.
All right.
I was trying to think of a way I could say Frenchman, but
baguettes.
Thinking about it, I'm like...
Awesome accents. Laughing differently.
Chowder.
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 See, you ran out of stuff and you went to a different accent at number four. That's not good. But I think I'd probably go with pirate too, just because depending on the time and the location, I could hang out with Mary Read and she sounds cool. And then you probably get killed being a pirate in some horrible way, but it wouldn't be a constant fear. It would just kind of happen one day, as opposed to like, you wake up and you're like, is today the day they cut off my head?
Well, then you just like, they throw your body in the ocean and never
you return to the earth.
Yeah. Also, eye patches and peg legs are kind of cool.
And beaches. There's beaches.
And I would like to point out they had limes by the 17th century. They knew what scurvy was and they were eating their limes.
What else? And you have a pirate, but it's just like, I'm just worried about skin cancer, guys. I don't want to get melanoma. Like, that's dangerous.
Sit in the shade.
On a boat?
Yeah, I think both options kind of, I don't know. I mean,
become a captain and then you get to sit in the captain's quarters.
Yeah, I mean, let's say, because I would almost say, you know, French Revolution, if I could be rich before they started killing, because that was a hell of a life. I mean,
yeah. But then it abruptly ended when they defenestrate
anyway.
You.
At least you get good food and awesome clothes on the backs of, you know. The poor people.
Defenestration, Jan.
Yeah,
it looked pretty fun in the Marie Antoinette film. Sophia.
Do I get a New Order soundtrack with that?
I love that soundtrack.
Ooh.
All right, so that's what we think. Weigh in on whether you would be a Frenchman or a pirate in the comments for this week's episode on the site, GamesRadar.com. You know there's other things on the site, too, like links to our weekly streams that we do, multiple streams.
Mondays from 4 o'clock to 6 p.m. Pacific time, and Wednesday from 3:30 to 5.
Yeah, a lot of fun. And we've been giving away stuff. If you want to win things, you should watch those because you could win something.
Yeah, and Henry mentioned, we're going to be streaming Captain Toad this week, next week.
Yeah.
On Wednesday, so... come watch. And then after that, there's some other pretty cool streams coming up too with some really cool prizes that I don't want to talk about yet, but They're really cool, so you guys should definitely check it out.
Cooking Mama. I'm going to be...
No, you should. I'm not. You should do that. Also, follow us on Games Radar on Twitter. Though also GR Radio Radar on Twitter, too. The podcast has its own Twitter feed. And you should go to the Facebook page for it as well. You know, read that. You'll stay all up to date on our stuff then. Mm-hmm. And review this on iTunes and all that good stuff. All right. So that's it for this week. Until next time.